Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, here with our guests Dick Reichman and Steve Hunt, here to talk about Dick's play, which is opening tonight at Cyrano's, called The Big One, and it's about the oil spill, I understand. And you were in Valdez when the oil spill happened, so what did you learn new while doing this play?
Well, actually, my story in Valdez, I originally wanted to write a play about the wonderful things happened to me, but then I came around to do something more sensible, which I don't think has been done before, which is to do a chronicle of the spill. Tell you what happened on the bridge that night, how it happened, and the people who actually worked there, what did they experience, and all that kind of stuff. And so it was interesting. I designed this thought of doing this chronicle, and I was thinking to myself, this is a kind of play that Sophocles wrote a lot of, where you know the outcome, but you have to interest the audience in what's happening as you go along, because you know the outcome already. The ending is not going to be a surprise. So I started to do a lot of reading and read up, and I suddenly realized that's wrong. We don't know the outcome. We don't know what happened. We don't know whose fault it was. And in fact, the more I read about the spill, the more I learned that everything about it that we accepted as a public and got from the press and consider as common wisdom is quite wrong, and the information that indicates that it's wrong is right there in the Anchorage Daily News.
Right, all the contradictions. And, I mean, because I was going to ask you, there's this element of Greek tragedy, because even the title, it's embedded in there, the big one, like, it's not if, but when this will happen, like an earthquake
or
something.
Well, that's from Ricky Ott, who predicted the spill the night before in a town meeting.
Wow, okay. So that's a coincidence. But, I mean, this is not like an act of God, of nature that you cannot control. This is something that happen. So you have this fatalistic element that's built into the play. We all know what's going to happen. But like you said, we don't know what's going to happen because the outcome is still unfolding right now, 20 years later. So
no, it's actually much more extreme than that. The public thinks that 11 million gallons were spilled. There were actually 33 million gallons spilled, according to the evidence that's out there. Every fact, every piece of information
has been spun and controlled. So there's this whole mythology.
Or
like
it's
you
just
say, the
wrong,
conventional wisdom is one thing.
So I've discovered that, wow, there are all these things about the spill that we Alaskans didn't know, don't know, and it's fascinating.
It's very fascinating. Do you think there's a way to kind of have people revise their the thing that's kind of almost set in stone, like 9/11 or something? Something happens, and if the media gets on it for 3 days or so, and they say 50 times a day, boom, that becomes the truth, and it never changes. It seems like. Do you think your play can change the popular perception?
I don't know, because the play draws a complex solution, which is basically, instead of blaming a drunk captain, there are real causes for major industrial accidents. Mm-hmm. And rather than blaming a captain or the executives at Exxon, maybe we should be looking at what causes major industrial accidents, the root causes, and doing something about that. We escape that responsibility by saying Joe Hazlewood was drunk, he crashed a tanker, so skippers shouldn't drink anymore, end of problem.
As long as it becomes like a cartoon character, this kind of, this drunken,
So, Steve.
Yes.
Who do you play?
I play Frank Iarossi, who is the president of Exxon Shipping, who comes in after the spill and tries to clean things up.
I remember Frank's voice very well.
How close do I come?
Pretty good.
I try.
And you are one of the characters, I understand, who has been demonized unreasonably.
Yes. When I first mentioned that I'm playing Frank Iarossi to some friends of mine, they lit out a few words of unkindness, you might say, about that character. As I researched the character of Frank, I found out that he, as Dick has written in the play as well, is not two-dimensional. He's very three-dimensional. He has a broad background and extensive experience in mechanical engineering and tanker construction and spill cleanups, and he did about as much as he could do from my research in terms of the spill. But in my research, and of course that's just what I've been looking at, it seems, as Dick has said, that the spill was going to happen, and there's nothing that you could really do to clean it up. You could just pretty much try to clean it up. And that's what I've discovered that he tried to do.
And that is this the outstanding modus operandi for a subsequent spill too right now today, that it's, if it happens again, that the same thing will happen or worse? You know, it's just a question of magnitude.
Well, I think that from what I understand, after the spill, there was a big wake-up call, and there are some things that were not in place for that spill. The mechanics of cleaning up that spill just were not there, and to prevent the spill and also to clean it up. And from my understanding, they have taken actions to make sure that the spills don't happen like they happened this time, or that cleanup can happen afterwards.
And, of course, your play doesn't go far. I mean, is not involved with that. You're not really, Dick, I would assume, not really drawing a moral or a plan for the future or any such thing. You're talking about the people who were involved and what their attitude, what they did and what they
That's
they
true.
Didn't
the play is about the people, but the play does draw, I don't know if you call it a moral, there is a point to all of this, and the point being, there's a cascade of reasons why industrial accidents happen, and they're all related to cost cutting. They're all related to the profit motive making us do something dangerous cheaply, the cheapest possible contractor, the most dangerous possible. The profit motive is always making these accidents potentially so. The causes of ExxonVal, a cascade of cost cutting. That was the real cause of that accident. And that's the cause. Oil prices were low in 89, and they were cutting costs like crazy in every area. And this is what happens. I'm sure it's happening now in major industries. We're in a recession. Cost cutting, environmental protections are being reduced. And everything comes into a cascade to create industrial accidents under those circumstances. So that's the moral, the lesson.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Dick Reichman and Steve Hunt, talking about Dick's new play, The Big One, about the Valdez oil spill, which is opening tonight at Cyrano's at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Dick, I have to ask you, I think when I first met you, you had a book called Tanker on the Rocks, which was also a play,
I think. That was a play. That was a melodrama that I wrote. I was living in Valdez during the spill. And so after the spill, after the cleanup summer, we did a melodrama called Tanker on the Rocks, which was actually about a giant fish spill, which polluted the beaches to such an extent that the oil workers couldn't operate.
Oh. You mean the cleanup crew.
That's right. They couldn't go out there. Those rotten fish out there was totally destroyed. The total environment was totally destroyed by rotten
cod liver
fish.
Oil.
A fish spill.
Oh, okay, okay. So this is a totally different thing.
This is a serious play.
So that was kind of the melodrama.
Yeah, that was
spoof.
Fun. That was a lot of fun. The Tanker on the Rocks.
Yeah. So Steve, you're portraying a fellow who's alive.
Yes.
And have you come face-to-face with him to do your research? How does it feel to be on the stage as a character, a real-life person who is real and alive and, you know,
well, I've not met Mr. Irossi in person. I have done some research on him. Two things. One, I'm trying to imitate the actual person. I'm playing a character in the play, which is based on that person. And Dick has written the language in his play is come from Dick. So I'm not speaking the words that Frank Irossi said necessarily. So I'm playing that character. However, I have looked at some tapes of Mr. Irossi, especially in the testimony of the NTSB hearings. And I've looked at how he spoke and sort of his demeanor and what he said about the cleanup. So I've done research that way. I would love to meet him, but I haven't had a chance to do that.
I understand there's one other real life, or at least one other real live character.
Well, Joe Hazelwood's in it, and Ricky Ott from Cordova is in it.
Who plays Hazelwood?
Hazelwood is Rick Barreras, and you know he looks like him.
Really?
He looks like him.
And he's a really good actor, too.
I don't know Hazelwood personally, but I imagine from his pictures that he must be a guy something like Rick.
Wow.
And who's playing Ricky Ott?
A lady named Nava from, she's an actress from South Africa, and she's new in town, a wonderful actress, and someone told me last night, she looks like Ricky Ott. I don't think so myself, but, and Ricky Ott is the only one of the major principals I know will be coming to see the play.
Oh,
we've been friends for years. I hope it continues after she sees the play. I don't know.
Yeah, all this talking about, you know, the corporate irresponsibility and the profit motive being the bottom line, which is why these things happen. In the course of your research, you tell us that there's all these new things, and these new things that you've discovered are in the play and the voices of the characters. Of the characters that as they're introduced in real time, is it kind of like a Laramie, Wyoming play, like, you know, the Matthew Shepard play, where it's first person, almost like a Studs Terkel, like it's just a series of people talking, and or is it just
it's set up with a narrations which are shared by all the different cast members and scenes, so you get a few lines of narration. And the narration dies off near the end, but there's a lot of politics and history. That's why I call it a docudrama. There's narration, but the narrations break off into scenes, so it's just narration, scene. And after a while, we drop the narrations and just go to the scenes.
Well, is it a play in the sense that the characters change during the course of the play?
Well, there are four lead characters, and hopefully each of them has a curve that is of interest and hopefully true to their lives. I only know one of them personally. I've got her curve right. We'll find out when she comes to see the play.
Steve is nodding emphatically.
Well, yes. I think that the Irasi character does go through a journey in the play, and I think Hazelwood does too. We both start out in one place and we end someplace differently than we began, which is what a mark of a good playwright and a good play. The play is basically divided into two acts, the first act being leading up to the spill, and then the second act is post-spill. And we find out how that affected both these characters. And there's even a scene in the play, I hope I don't spoil it, where Dick has introduced Irasi meeting, or a scene with Irasi and Hazelwood together, where you see how they come together and talk about what they went through, at least from Irasi's point of view.
Interesting. Well, we're getting the signal. I guess our time's run out. I'll have to ask you very much thanks for coming.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing this play. I was here during the spill, and I read every word in the newspaper, so I'm going to be very interested to see this play. And this is our guests. Thank you for coming, Dick Reichman and Steve Hunt. And Dick's play, The Big One, opens tonight at Cyrano's.
And now it's time for the Stage Talk calendar. Scared Scriptless has a comedy improv show tomorrow night, Saturday, September 12th, at 8 p.m. at the Snow Goose Theater at 717 West 3rd Avenue. For tickets or more information, you can call 730-1973 or just show up at the Snow Goose before the performance at 8 p.m.
TVA Theater presents Tales to Tremble By, September 11th to 13th, Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. at Grant Hall on the APU campus. And for more information, call 677-PLAY.
Valley Performing Arts continues its run of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel at the Makatans Theater in Wasilla. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 4 p.m. And this musical runs through October the 4th. For tickets, call 373-0195. That's 373-0195. Or you can go to info@valleyperformingarts.org. And they also have auditions up there at VPA for Babes in Toyland. And these auditions are going to be on September 13th, which is Sunday, from 6 to 9 p.m. For more information, call 373-0195.
Another audition notice, Cyrano's will be casting for Bark the Musical on Monday, September 14th at 7 p.m. at Cyrano's.
And finally, opening tonight at Cyrano's is Dick Reichman's The Big One, the chronicle of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. It's a world premiere. This show will run at 7 p.m. Thursday through Saturday and at 3 p.m. on Sundays through September the 27th at Cyrano's Playhouse Theater. For tickets, call 263-ARTS or you can go to centertix.net.
Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Mark Muro for KSKA.